And welcome on board WKOK's Sunrise program. I'm Mark Lawrence. Rob Setter, all ready for a new week on the other side of the glass. I've been wishing everybody happy new week. So happy new week to Rob Setter. He waves. He's happy. And happy new week to TJ Ikey. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for coming in. TJ Ikey, President and CEO of the Central Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce. Just a chamber that is a booming around here. It's safe to say. How many members do you have? I notice on your website, of course, this is important to you because sort of there's strength in numbers. And how many numbers are you up to? I notice it clicks up as you watch
it. Yeah, it clicks. And when I left on Friday, I believe we were at 581. Last night, I was looking at my emails, and we had someone join last night. So I'll be processing a new member as soon as I arrive on campus this morning. So it's always exciting. And it's not just about the new members. It's also about those that we retain as well, because that shows that we're doing what they want us to do.
Right. In what way is 581 different than just 500 or just 400 or just 300?
I think because what it represents in regards to all the different types of businesses, different types of members, and it also just kind of shows that what we're doing is getting noticed. On Friday morning, we hosted what we do monthly, sometimes more than once a month, but we host a breakfast in-house, and we invite members, non-members.
Breakfast briefings?
Yeah, breakfast briefings, and so we had a breakfast briefing, and a gentleman arrived whom I talked to late last year. Reached out by a suggestion of another member and hadn't heard from him. And he showed up at breakfast on Friday. And when it was all over, he pulled me aside and asked if we could talk. And he's from Missouri, and he relocated here for a company that's going to be up and running here soon. And he was telling me that he was skeptical. He thought that most chambers were more of a social club. So he's been doing his homework and kind of following us on social media, in the newspaper, and so on our events calendar. Came to breakfast and said that, and this was something I really liked in his words, we were a workhorse of a chamber versus a social club. And so before we even got finished with the afternoon on Friday, he reached out to Jessica, our financial coordinator, and asked if he could have an invoice sent before he even did an application. He wants to be a member.
He's ready to pay. Here's your money. We'll sign up later, but I want to get in and make sure that you're paying to be part of that. And the things that have been accomplished are notable, too. Give us some of the numbers. You say this is something you do pay attention to, not all the time, but you look at it sort of the end of the month.
Yeah, we just kind of try to, you know, people pay attention to numbers. We found numbers, videos, a lot more than reading. We internally joke that no one really reads these days. And so we're averaging 7 events a month. And those, again, are not social events. Those are events that are going to impact your bottom line, whether it's a training, whether it's an inside jobs tour where you're going to look behind the scenes of another business, which you were recently a part of. And also this particular month, which I knew it was getting pretty tiresome, we have 10 events in March alone. So that's pretty incredible. And then something we do that folks don't really, I don't know if they understand how much of a difference it makes, but we've, since inception of hosting blood drives, we've hosted 22 blood drives. And on average, each blood drive collects 22 units of blood. And, you know, those types of things might seem kind of minuscule, but folks also network at those blood drives too. You know, two business guys are waiting to get their blood drawn, and they're chit-chatting, and they haven't had the time to actually sit down and talk. So they're doing that, but they're also saving lives at the same time. And it's just, you know, all the things we do, we try to make sure it's some means of making a difference.
All right. Well, and you have been helping to spread the word about a foundation also. We haven't heard much about the Getting Ahead Foundation around here sort of broadly, but they keep bubbling up in discussions. Tell me about them, and you were the keynote speaker at their recent event.
Yeah, so I was very honored to be the keynote speaker at their graduation yesterday. And I knew about the program, but I got to be truly exposed yesterday to the students. What a remarkable group of individuals. Rose Williams is the executive director, but they're taking it abroad, and they were just offering classes for some time in the Milton area. But these classes are for individuals from any walk of life, any age group, that for whatever reason, maybe some of their own decisions, or maybe some bad luck, or maybe something they were brought into. But it's for folks who just need a little help. They want to get ahead. They're not looking for a handout. They do 19 weeks of classes. Now, that's one heck of a commitment for 19 weeks. They had
paid tuitions and things.
So they actually show up, and all the things that Rose does for the program is by donors or sponsors. So these individuals have to show up a week, one night a week for 19 weeks straight and attend a variety of classes. And anywhere from learning how to, you know, make sure that their diets and the foods that they're purchasing are not only, you know, cost effective, but also good for them and their children. Also learning how to balance a checkbook and about a credit score and, you know, just anything you can possibly think of that's going to help you get ahead. And it was a remarkable group of folks who were, many of them had perfect attendance. And in this day and world, somebody committing to something for 19 weeks and it's a learning, you know, opportunity. I asked Rose how folks come to get into this program, and some see it like you in the newspaper and say, I really want to do this.
I heard it on the radio.
Or on the radio. And some folks also, you know, maybe are going to a food bank and, you know, someone there might say, hey, have you thought about this? You might not need to come to the food bank anymore if you're able to sustain a good job. And some individuals, maybe caseworkers, you know, will get them. So I think it's remarkable that they're looking for ways to maybe get off of assistance and take care of themselves. And they had a class speaker last night who said she wants nothing more than to be able to be better off than she was last night next year at this time and be able to come back and give back to the next round of students. They offer child care, so there's no reason not to come. Volunteers come and can watch the children while the parents are in class.
Okay, so that's Getting Head Foundation. And what would your message be to them? Sounds like they are an inspiring group in and of themselves.
Yeah, I told them that with the determination that they've shown with going and committing and completing 19 weeks, that they can pretty much do anything. And, you know, I offered myself as a resource if they need anything, that I'm now a friend of theirs as well.
Well, and I think that's that may be part of the theme of the chamber in general. You mentioned 10 items this month. They're all like continuing education events or things you might not think of, making sure your headshot is the photograph that you use for your social media and other purposes is current and that you're familiar with other businesses. You mentioned that I went to an inside jobs that was at Sync Solutions, Paul Smith's good sound and video operation with Chad Evans in Northumberland. So you're making sure that it's like continuing education for normal businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's always ways that we can improve or be more efficient. And that's the whole, you know, purpose of what we choose. We also currently, you know, make sure that we are asking our members, what do you need? You know, what are some, you know, pain points? What are some of your employees need to get a step ahead of the next group? So we try to make sure everything that we're offering is something that's being sought after. And we try to make it very affordable, if not free. And we also try to make it condensed and, you know, on site. And we've also, I don't know if you're aware, we are going to be in May, having our first event at an offsite location. And our offsite location is going to be in the Muncie area. So it's going to almost be a replica of our Smith Room with all the same logos and so forth. But in Muncie, it's going to be housed inside the Wealth Factory. And it's going to be another location where we can go and hold seminars and trainings, and individuals that maybe can't make the journey from the northern tier down from like Cumming County and so forth, they'll be able to meet there with us as well.
All right. So this is an opportunity. This is kind of a good segue into the dozens and dozens of events that are coming up. Now, we can't list them all, but suffice to say that if you join the chamber, and a lot of these are just open to the public, even if you're not a member of the chamber, that you're going to be smarter about business, know what the chamber's up to. You'll know what is a chamber, because one of the events is called What is a Chamber? So even I can figure out the resume or the itinerary for that one. But you're talking about sort of what people need to know to thrive in business today. Some of these deal with social media. I mentioned the headshots. I mean, some of them deal with doing digital marketing and all these things.
Yeah, we try to make sure it's a well-rounded opportunity. And we also know that the continuous issue for businesses of any type is employee shortage. You know, just no one seems to have enough employees. And it's a pet project I took on probably about 4 years ago now and still going on. In educating folks to hire individuals who have, you know, felonies and criminal backgrounds. And so we're also going to be doing another seminar in March on the 23rd from 10 to 11, and it's free. And it's the Hidden Talent Pool, Benefits of Hiring Reentry Employees. There is a lot of benefits. And even if you're just going to do it for these reasons, I encourage you to do so. But we're going to have the Pennsylvania Department of Labor, the Department of Corrections, and the Parole Board. And there are tax credits. There are other perks that will help your bottom line. So maybe you're going into it in that direction to, you know, better yourself as far as those kind of freebies. That's perfectly fine, because I am almost 100% certain that the employees that you get, you're going to be incredibly proud of and happy to have on your team, and you're going to want to do it for those reasons the next time as well. So, you know, these are the kinds of things that we're really trying to educate folks on. We're always trying to go after that same 30% of employees. When folks apply, all the companies are going after the same 30%. No one's looking at that 70% that might have, you know, a little dust or an issue that was something from years ago. And they're there. They're there to be sought after. And they are folks who are going to be really dedicated. But they're just getting overlooked. So we are doing our best to make sure that we can educate folks to take a chance. What you're doing currently isn't working. So why not take a chance on something else?
And is that, have you made some headway there? I sat in on one of the seminars that you had on reentry employees, and it was a real eye-opener at some of the biggest of the big companies have no qualms about doing this. Smaller companies, a little bit more hesitant.
Yeah, we actually, I get a report weekly from a member that we spoke of that you sat on the seminar, Honest Jobs, and they list employers whom they're vetting folks that have criminal backgrounds for potential hires. And I follow it each week, and the amount that are increasing as far as employers in our communities, in our counties, is slowly but truly keeps on ticking up. So I'm really excited to see that. And I reached out to Honest Jobs last week, and I'm trying to make a partnership where we can help those employers and give them a little extra bonus from us as the Central PA Chamber for taking those initiatives. So that is in the works. But I'm also going to be spending a part of my day tomorrow at Allenwood Federal Prison. Personally, I am going to be a PSV volunteer, and I want to be able to learn from the backside as well and give back on that part, so that way I can know the full scope of what I've been trying to do the last 4 years.
So you walk the walk, is that what I'm hearing?
I do like to know what I'm talking about.
Okay. We're right in the middle of our interview with T.J. Eike, President and CEO of the Central Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce. Well over 500 members of this. Well, used to be the small chamber around here. It used to be called it the Milton Chamber, but of course you just grow and grow and grow. And then much closer to 600 members at the moment than you are to 500. So good for you. You keep growing and your numbers are up in terms of the events. 10 activities and events this month.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
That's in addition to all the great stuff that happens behind the scenes in the office.
Well, that's true. Yeah. All the phone calls and the connections. Like when we ask for a connection to something, you hook us up with all these good individuals. And of course, people can do it themselves. The Chamber website is just a great go-to site for anybody that's looking for anything. We saw you recently volunteering, and maybe this is a personal TJ story, less so a chamber story, a PSV volunteer. What is that?
Yeah, so it's actually PVS. It's Prisoner Visitation and Support. And as a part of some other groups within my representation of the Central PA Chamber, I had been hearing about this and that they were in desperate need of volunteers. Like many organizations, post-COVID, a lot of folks haven't returned. And I had some interest and I was curious, and it's led me to several different types of trainings and applications and letters of recommendation. And hopefully, after tomorrow's training at the Allenwood Federal Penitentiary, I will be certified, if you will, and receive my badge so that I can start visiting. And what it actually is, what it boils down to, is mental health issues are on the rise and have been for a long time for individuals who are incarcerated for any length and they don't have visitors. It may be that they're being incarcerated really far from where their family is, and the family can't make the regular visits. Maybe family has given up on them and they don't have any opportunity for visits. And so the idea of this group is volunteers are scheduled, if the prisoners want a visitor, that on Saturdays or Sundays, once a month, we would be scheduled to go to one of the federal institutions that we have selected in our region and be matched with prisoners to sit down, talk about whatever they want to talk about. It's not geared by us. And if they want to talk about sports, if they want to talk about faith, whatever it is, we're there to let them know that there are resources on the outside and, you know, just kind of give them some hope.
I don't even know you super well personally. I know you're a woman of faith, so we know that's happening. But I think you would be crazily, uniquely, perfectly qualified. Am I right?
Well, I'll tell you, when I was starting to do some of the training, it was a little overbearing. And then I had to actually do one-on-one interviews with a longtime mentor of the program. And there was a lot of happenstances. What if this happens in an interview? And what if this? And so to say that I'm not a little nervous, I've been inside the prison before for some speaking engagements. And I do have some projects coming up for that as well. But this is going to be a whole new endeavor. But I know I personally in my life have dealt with, you know, feeling you're alone or, you know, some depression and anxiety. And I just think this is a really great way to give back. But it's also a great way to make the endeavors I started about 4 years ago with getting people with second chance opportunities to make it full circle. And, you know, how beautiful would it be if I can encourage these folks that when they do get out, that there are folks who would be willing to give them a chance and hire them and inspire them.
All right, well, and as a person of faith, our faith calls on us in great measure to reach out, help, talk to, assist, break out of prison individuals who are incarcerated. Well, maybe not that one, but Paul broke out one time because the doors opened up. So there you go. So there's some good trivia, as you know. Okay, so, and you, let's talk about you as long as we're on the subject of you, and then we'll get back to the chamber itself. 12th year with the chamber?
Yeah. It's really hard to believe that it, last week I celebrated my 12th year at the Central PA Chamber. And, it's incredible. Most folks don't know when I started, I didn't even know what a Central PA, what a chamber was, or that the Central PA Chamber existed, where it was. It's in my hometown. I went to Milton High School. So it's pretty remarkable that I had no clue what it was. And I came from the engineering world. I was a manufacturing engineering coordinator for the cabinet industry. And just a turn of events when the housing industry crashed and the company I work for moved out of state. I didn't want to move. And I stayed here and took a temporary position somewhere where someone came up to me and said, did you know our chamber's hiring? And I went in there after studying the website and just trying to get an idea of what it was. And the rest is history. As they say, I started at the very entry level. I served under two presidents. And when the president had passed away abruptly, Bruce Smith, they were looking for someone. It was a nationwide search. They had 85 applicants. I honestly didn't have any hopes that I would be chosen. And here I am. So I started as president in October of 2017, and some great milestones under my belt, a wonderful team that I support. And, you know, every day I'm just so grateful and blessed to be doing something that, you know, unbeknownst to me, something I feel I was really cut out to do.
Well, yeah, I think you got a gift for it. You have a gift for the way you deal with people and the work that you're doing. And you are one of these people around here who thinks big. I always recognize it when I talk to these folks. Whatever you're doing yesterday, I'll bet we could do more. And if there's some unmet need, I'll bet we could address it. Or if there's some person with a significant issue, I bet we can help.
Yeah, I try to be proactive. You know, I think we're always focusing on how to react to things, and we're all working on the same things. And I don't like redundancy, and I like to, you know, make sure that we're proactive, that we're looking ahead, and, you know, what can we do differently? I like to be a trailblazer, if you will. Sometimes I have to live by the motto that it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. But, you know, and that's a tribute to, we have a great board, we have great volunteers on our various committees, and everyone's like-minded. We all want to make a difference, and we all want to see businesses not only come to this area, but stay here and grow and prosper and working together. You know, there's nothing that warms my heart more than when I see businesses, even competitors, helping one another.
Well, you do see that around here. I think probably more of a human condition than a local issue. But, yeah, you do definitely see that. Yeah, when one has a dilemma or a big fire or something, you know, where it's a big setback, they tend to pull each other up because they know the competition helps them. You know, it pushes people. You said something funny that you didn't know what a chamber was, which is ironic. Is that why you have a what is a chamber event coming up?
Well, it's pretty funny. It is, but it isn't funny. But there are so many times when we talk to people, you know, the idea of what they think a chamber is, if we had a list, we could make quite the comic book. You know, we have folks call us about a product they purchased off of a television ad, and they think that we can right the wrong. They think we're the Better Business Bureau. Almost everyone thinks we're somehow related or tied to government and that we're government funded. Our phones are always quiet on government holidays, even though we're working, because they think we're closed. It's just no one really grasps it. And I think the hard part is a chamber is almost everything. You know, if it's a chamber like the Central PA Chamber, you can't just box us into one thing. We do just about something for everyone. And so this seminar and training is just a really, you know, hands-on, explaining all the various things we do, sharing a little of our history, what we're made up of. And we have had the one with a group already, and the biggest takeaway was they didn't know that we offer discount prescription drug cards and health insurance quotes. Out of an hour of coverage of all the things we do, that particular group, that was the one thing they were most fascinated about and took. Mm-hmm. So I know each time we do the training, everyone's going to have their own takeaways. But, you know, it's very interesting and it's very difficult. I know when folks ask me, what do you do? And I tell them I work for a chamber of commerce. They immediately say, oh, you're one of those. You work for the government. And or when I have the chamber car out and about, folks will stop me and start to give me their rant on government. So it's just a way to educate folks and let them know that we're here to help them. And while we do work with governments, we are not the government.
Oh, I'm glad you're here. I want to tell you, Congress is busted. Yeah, they're not working effectively in Washington.
I'll see what I can do.
Can you pass that along? headshot opportunities. You had one, now you're having another. This is getting more popular where you allow people to update their photographs.
Yeah, we didn't really think it would be as popular as it was. We actually had to keep calling in favors with a photographer and asking, can we add two more? Can we add another one? Because he was at capacity. And, you know, I have this posted on my desk that says people buy people. And I think you and I talked about this before. And so also, you know, they might know your name, but they don't know your face. And it's really nice when folks have that headshot at the bottom of their email. Or, you know, if the paper's doing a story on you, they have a current headshot and they're not using something from 15 years ago when no one's going to recognize you. So, you know, this is a really good opportunity. A lot of times you have to schedule and go to the photographer studio, and it is quite costly and an investment. And maybe employers can't invest, but at this cost, you can surely invest yourself to do this. And you get the rights to the photos. It takes a few minutes, and it's right at our office.
And that's coming up. All right. How to deliver a great elevator speech. This is how to talk about you or your company in 30 seconds?
It should be, you know, 28 to 30 seconds. And
it's quite a range.
The whole point is to make sure that you're not getting to that point where they're looking at a watch or they're looking for the door to escape. At our breakfast briefings, we ask everyone to get up and do their elevator pitch. And this Friday, they were probably the average of 2 to 5 minutes. And, you know, folks were just getting up
and they still omit things.
Yeah. And so you have to make sure it's just a couple key things to pique interest. And then that person will come to you afterwards and want to know the rest of what you have to say. And I tried to educate them, and you know this better than anyone, timing is everything. And if you're going to be on somebody's agenda, you got to make sure that you are observant of the amount of time you're allotted and don't you know, just take it all.
Speaking of, we're almost out of time. But you have one coming up that's not just important, and we only have a minute to talk about it, raising the board.
Yeah, so raising the board, you know, I talked about many not-for-profits this morning, and if you have any ties to a not-for-profit or know someone who does, I highly encourage you to call our office or visit our website. This program is for those who want to serve or are serving, and it is just a very important educational piece that's going to give you a sound mind to know that you're doing what you should be doing and also to protect the organizations that you're serving.
Yeah, asking good questions, monitoring the finances, and helping to think big. You know, that's, I mentioned that, that you're capable of doing this, and I don't, but I know there are some folks on boards that say, okay, well, whatever we did last year, we can do more.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's just about making sure if you're going to volunteer to do something, make sure that you're giving it your all and that you have the responsibility that you know what you're supposed to be doing.
You know, like when Silicon Valley Bank collapsed, people automatically started looking to the board, like where were they when you know they had their themselves way out over the end of their skis there and couldn't recover. TJ Ikey, thank you so much.
It's always my pleasure. Always my pleasure.
Thanks so much for what you're doing. CentralPAChamber.com. You can find out all about that. Read the Inside Business that comes out from quarterly, right? Quarterly?
Yeah, the next edition of IYB will be coming out here shortly.
All right, so we'll be looking forward to that. But the current edition is there for you to look at now. TJ Ikey, President and CEO of the Central Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce.